Jirata Matovo Kunja Bihari Vrata Matovo Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balaba Girivaradari Gopi Jana Balaba Girivaradari Yashoda Nandana Brajajanaranjana Yashoda Nandana Brajajanaranjana Jamuna Tirtha Vanachari Jamuna Tirtha Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Hey Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balaba Girivaradari Gopi Jana Balaba Girivaradari Yashoda Nandana Brajajanaranjana Yashoda Nandana Brajajanaranjana Tirtha Vanachari Jamuna Tirtha Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Hey Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parikraj Gacharya Ashtotila Satashishi Mad His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Anadakoti, Vaishnava Priniki, Grantara Shima, Bhagavatam Ki, Jainitai Go Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Narayanam namaskritya naram cheva narottamam devim saraswatim vyasam tatojayam udirayat Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Chapter entitled The Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, text number 69. Aham Pura Bhavam Kaschit. Gandhava Upabhahana. Namnati Te Mahakalpe. Gandhavanam Susammataha. Aham Purabhavam Kaschid. Gandharva Upabhahana. Namnati Te Mahakalpe. Gandharvanam Susammataha. Aham Purabhavam Kaschid. Gandharva Upabhahana. Namnati Te Mahakalpe. Gandharvanam Susammataha. Some bit of water. Jug. Myself. Pura, formerly, Abhavam, existed as, Kaschit, Gandharva, one of the denizens of Gandharva Loka, Upabhahana, Upabhahana, Namna, by the name. Atite, long, long ago. Mahakalpe, in a life of Brahma, which is known as a Mahakalpa. Gandhavanam, among the Gandhavas. Susammataha, a very respectable person. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Long, long ago in another Mahakalpa, millennium of Brahma, I existed as the Gandharva known as Upabhahana. I was very respected by the other Gandharvas. Translation responsibly. Long, long ago in another Mahakalpa, millennium of Brahma, I existed as the Gandharva, known as Upabhahana. I was very respected by the other Gandharvas. Srila Narada Muni is giving a practical example from his past life. Formerly, during the previous lifetime of Lord Brahma, Narada Muni was one of the denizens of Gandharva Loka. But unfortunately, as will be explained, he fell from the exalted position in Gandharva Loka, where the inhabitants are extremely beautiful and expert in singing, to become a Shudra. Nonetheless, because of his association with devotees, he became more fortunate than he was in Gandharva Loka. Even though cursed by the Prajapatis to become a Shudra, in his next life he became the son of Lord Brahma. The word Mahakalpe is described by Srila Madhvacharya as Atita, Brahmakalpe. Brahma dies at the end of the life of many millions of years. The day of Brahma is described in Bhagavad Gita 8:17. Sahasra Yuga Payantam Ahayad Brahmana Vidu Ratrim Yuga Sahasrantam Teho Ratra Vido Janaha. By human calculation, 1,000 ages taken together is the duration of Brahma's one day, and such also is the duration of his night. Bhagavan Sri Krishna can remember incidents from millions of years ago. Similarly, his pure devotee like Narada Muni can also remember incidents from a past life millions and millions of years ago. Omagyan timadandashya gananjana shalakaya chakshurin melitam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya manobishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati swa padantikam. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare. I just need to drink some water. Prabhupada said, health first, then Krishna consciousness. If you're healthy, then you can speak. If you're not healthy, then you cannot speak in Krishna consciousness. So, now we're hearing about the life of Narada. So this is significant. Because if you read the Bhagavatam, hands up if you read the whole Bhagavatam. No, we have to read the whole Bhagavatam. Prabhupada actually said three times. You have to read the whole thing three times. So if you read the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see that one of the main speakers in the entire Bhagavatam is Narada. Right? And as we pointed out in previous classes, he is the guru of many of the great personalities in the Bhagavatam. Right, many of the Mahajanas, many of the great personalities. Narada is the guru. So he's Mahamuni. Right? He's a great sage. You see, actually, when the Bhagavatam has been spoken, by Shukadev Goswami to Parikshit, that when Shukadev Goswami entered the assembly, everyone stood up because they realized this is the most advanced personality. Now, he was, in terms of his physiognomy, his appearance, Shukadev Goswami was only like a 16-year-old. So he's young, youthful, and he was also naked. So it's not... it's not cultured to walk around naked. Right? It's not a proper custom to walk around naked in a cultured civilization. Of course, like if you go to India, where the vestiges of the Vedic culture still exist, you'll still see like Vedic culture there to some extent. You see Naga Babas. You see people walking around who are, you know, naked. So it's not like a totally unfamiliar thing, but civilized people don't do it. So Prabhupada actually said nakedness is madness. You know, when the people are naked, that's mad. That means they've gone crazy. Sometimes you go to these festivals. We used to cater at festivals where everyone was naked. Not everyone, but many people were naked. These people are mad. So when he walked into the assembly, Shukadev Goswami, right, he walked in and everyone stood up. Even though he was naked and he was only in a 16-year-old body, everyone stood up because they said, oh, wow, this person is effulgent. This person is, he has the demeanor or the countenance or the, his energy showed that he was not an ordinary person, spiritually enlightened personality. So everyone stood up in respect, except for Narada and Vyas. They did not sit because Vyas was his father. So the father doesn't stand when the son comes. The son touches the father's feet. You touch your father's feet every day? Yeah? Good. Very good. So every day you have to touch the father's feet. That is the system. The guru's feet, the father's feet. That's the system. So the son, he will touch the father's feet. So Vyasadeva did not stand up. Because his son had come in. And Narada is the guru of Vyas. So the father's guru is not going to stand up when he walks in as well. So this shows Narada's position. He is Mahamuni. He is the great sage amongst the demigods. Very famous personality. Even in ISKCON, there are pastimes with Prabhupada and Narada Muni. And, you know, he's a very prominent person in our tradition, in the Bhagavatam, right? In our teachings. So many of the teachings are coming from him. So now Narada is telling the story. This story is told throughout the Bhagavatam. Back in the first canto, it's mentioned. Now in canto 7, another part of the story is being mentioned. Who was he previously? So this is an important part of Vedic philosophy. It is called samsara. Samsara means repeated birth and death. How many times have you been born and died since you came to this material world? Too many to remember. It's an interesting point, actually. Why can't we remember? Why can't you remember? Who were you in your last life? I say, who were you in your last life? It wasn't that long ago. For you guys, it was only like, you know, 10, 15 years ago. You're in a completely different body. Right? 20 years ago, you're in a totally different body. 20 years is not a long time. Right? 60 years ago, I was in a different body. I can't remember. Why is it I don't know? Why can't we remember? Jnanam smritir apohanam cha. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I give you knowledge, remembrance, and apohanam means forgetfulness. I make you forget. So Krishna makes us forget. Why? Because if we remember the previous life, we wouldn't identify with this life so much. you wouldn't get into this life. You say, ah, the last one was better. Or, you know, the last one, you know, it would change. So your whole mood of being Ishra or Ham, Mahambo Gi, Sido Ham, Balavan, Suki, your whole mood of trying to enjoy in this world, it would be disturbed if you're remembering previously who I was. Also, if you had to remember all the pain and the suffering you went through. Imagine if you had to remember the last 1,000 lives and how you died. Right, that's a lot for the mind to put up with. Well, it's like Krishna just wipes the slate. Now, you can't remember. But in our philosophy, in Vedic philosophy, we understand, it's an important point, we have a previous life. Hands up if you believe in reincarnation. Well, that's good. We believe in reincarnation. It's part of our philosophy. Now most of the world is believing in it, right? A lot of people didn't believe in it for a long time, but now it makes so much sense that people are believing in it now. Even many of the words from the Vedic scriptures are becoming mainstream. You know, karma. Everyone knows, oh, that's your karma. Reincarnation is accepted as a natural part of life. Many people believe that now. Guru, the word pundit, that's mainstream now. People say, oh, he's a pundit. People say these things. All these words are coming like mainstream from the Vedic culture. So even my grandmother, you know, when I became a Hare Krishna in 1989, she could not really relate to it. She thought, oh, this is very strange. You know, and she used to say to me all the time, when are you going to come home and grow your hair? No, she didn't like it that I shaved my hair. But when are you going to come home and grow your hair? I said, oh, maybe one day. But that one day never came. Still, I have the same haircut for 35 years. One haircut. Bus. Wake up in the morning, one towel, done. How much hair gel do you use? None. Do you have to blow dry your hair? No. Do you have to comb your hair? No. Done. Like that. Get up in the morning, done. That's my hairstyle. 1 second hairstyle. And how long does it take you to tie your shika? 10 seconds, 30 seconds. Bus. Now go. Simple living. High thinking. Don't waste time in brushing your hair. Shave it off and then you can just chant Hare Krishna. So, it is mentioned, when I became into it, she said, oh, why are you doing this? And then, when she passed away, not long before she passed away, I went to see her, and we were talking to her, I was talking to her, and in the beginning she didn't really understand. It was actually funny, because I became a devotee because I got a book coming back, you know, one of Prabhupada's books, a book from ISKCON. I got it from her house. I went to her house, it was on the shelf, I took it, I read it, and then I became a Hare Krishna. And then I think she said, oh, I wish you never read that book. So then I became a devotee, but then I went to visit her not long before she left the world, and we were speaking, and she said something like, she said to me, oh, that's my karma. And I thought, wow, you know, you didn't even understand anything in the beginning, but now it's mainstream. People believe in things like this, karma, reincarnation. So why do they believe in it more and more? Because it makes sense. It's the only logical way that we can explain what takes place in this world, in this universe. Otherwise, there's no logic. Why is one person born ugly? One person is born beautiful. Why is one person disabled? One person is healthy. Why is one person rich? One person is poor. Why is one person intelligent? One person is not so intelligent. Why? You can't explain all these things. There's no logic. But if you have the science of reincarnation, everything becomes logical, right? It's a logical explanation. And even people in Christianity are saying, I've heard people say, actually, this makes sense. Even though apparently it's not in the Bible. It is in the Bible, actually. If you read the Bible, it's actually in there. Reincarnation is in there. But they took a lot of it out because they're trying to scare people and control people. Now, when you want to scare someone and control someone, you give them like a very simplistic philosophy. Like you say, you will go to hell. That's a way of controlling people. Prabhupada was telling the story that down in England, there's coal miners. So has anyone ever had a job as a coal miner? Not a good job. Not a good job. Now it's more machinery and everything. Back in the old days, if you go to Sovereign Hill, did you go to Sovereign Hill? You don't even know what Sovereign Hill is? Okay. There's a place called Sovereign Hill up near Ballarat. If you go there, it's good actually for the kids because you learn a lot. You take the kids there, it's good. They learn a lot. You see how they used to do mining and things like that. Okay, it's good. So they go there. It was very dangerous, very unpleasant. You have to be underground all day. And they used to burn candles. And the candle would burn for 12 hours. And when the candle was very low, and they knew, imagine you're in the dark all day just with candle, underground, it's hot. It's hot down there in the earth. And not very pleasant. And when the candle is getting close, I know, okay, that's it. Time to get back up to. It wasn't a very good life. So they're down there all day. So then the Christian minister, you call it the the priest, he was trying to convert people. You become a Christian. And he would say, you become a Christian. If you become a Christian, you don't have to go to hell. And the coal miners would say, well, what is hell like? They say, oh, it's a dark place. And it's very, dark and scary. And they said, that's where we are all day. We go down in the coal mine all day. Like, we live in hell. Why should we become Christian? You're saying, oh, if you don't, you'll go to hell forever. And then the minister said, there are no newspapers there. And they said, oh, no. We will become Christians. We don't want to go to a place where it's so much suffering. So this is the way they were converting people. So they took out this philosophy of reincarnation. They just wanted people to surrender to their... no tapping. They just wanted people to surrender, right, to their philosophy. So then they said, no, you only live one life. Right? And if you don't believe in Jesus or you don't surrender, then you'll not go to heaven. No? So it's a very simplistic way of trying to control people. But someone who's intelligent, he understands actually there is more. There is more than one life. This is called reincarnation. And it's logical because then it explains, why is one person born like this? Why? Because what they did in their previous life. So Narada, he's now speaking about his previous life. Who was he previously? He's telling the story of who he was. Back in the first canto, he said, who was he? The son of the maidservant. Right? So he had a previous life. He speaks about things. So when we hear these things, we just feel this is natural and normal. Oh, I had a previous life. I also had a previous life. Who was I in my previous life? Who was I? I was an Irish housewife called Mrs. McGregor who had 9 kids and I had a little moustache. My husband was I was a big fat Irish lady and my husband was a potato farmer. My previous life. I don't know who I was, but we could be anyone in the previous life. How do you know who you were? You could have been something. We don't know these things. Sometimes people know, but generally we do not know. Krishna apohanam. Krishna makes you forget who you were in that previous life so that you can absorb yourself in this life. Oh, this life is everything. And then you fully absorb yourself in that. So Narada, he was speaking about his previous life back in Canto 1. And now in Canto 7, he goes back even further. Who was he before the maidservant's son? He was a Gandhava. And his name was Upabahana. So Upabahana, he committed some aparad. What was his offense? Yeah, he's sending some mundane songs in a Vaishnava assembly. So like, I think last weekend we had Kirtan Mela. We had 12-hour Kirtan. Was that last week? Madhava Prabhu? Yeah, so we had. Hands up, you came for 12-hour Kirtan. Yeah, so you came. So we had 12-hour kirtan. So everyone sits down, right, and they are doing 12-hour kirtan. Right? And then you imagine someone sits down and starts singing some Bollywood song. Some Bollywood thing, right? And everyone thinks, what happened to this guy? Right? He went crazy. Hey, take the microphone off him. Hey, go out. You don't sing like that here. Right? But this is what Narada was doing. He's singing some love song about some girl. You're such a nice voice. Like this. Everyone said, what are you doing? It's supposed to be kirtan festival, 12-hour kirtan. Right? And then you're doing this Bollywood thing. Right? Hey, out of here. So he upset everyone. And they said, because you are ignorant, we curse you, you will become Shudra. Your next life. It was a big curse. You know, if you're a Gandhava, have you seen the Gandhavas? You know, they have like wings, like angels. Right? They're very beautiful power. They're heavenly people, higher beings. And they're very good at dancing and singing and all these things. They're heavenly people. And then now you're told you have to become a Shudra. So it's like, you know, if you're living in a very nice place, right, somewhere like here in Melbourne, very nice place, nice suburb, nice house and everything, and then someone comes and says, hey, you have to go to, you know, some place not very nice. You have to go and live there, some slum, and, you know, you don't have money. You know, so you think, oh, my God, you know, I don't want to be like this. So Narada, he was cursed, right, as Upabahana. He had to come down and become Sudra. And then what happened in the first canto in that story? He was the son of a maidservant. So maidservant means she's helping in the house. You know, even if you go to India now, people have maidservants. They have servants in the house. You know, in Australia, we can't afford it. That's why we don't have it. Otherwise, if we would have it. But in India, it's so cheap. Many people have servants. You know, people come in and, you know. So he was the son of the maidservant. So not a very fortunate position. So he was like that, but it was Chaturmasya. Right? When does Chaturmasya begin? Soon. I don't know when, but July I think it is. We have Chaturmasya. 4 months of the... So in India, what happens? It rains that time, rainy season. So then the sadhus, who are always moving, Parikrajikacharya, right? Always moving around, they stay in one place, right? And they do some tapasya. In ISKCON, we also have to do some tapasya during Chaturmasya. First month, you cannot eat. Sak, green leafy vegetable. The second month, you cannot have dahi. Dahi means yogurt. Third month, dood. You cannot have milk. Fourth month, no poppadoms. No uttapan. You can't have South Indian food. I wonder what South Indian people do during Chaturmasya. Hey, what do they do? What do you do in Chaturmasya? Because you can't eat all that stuff. Mung dal. Acha, cha, cha, cha. Okay. So you can make mung dal. So you still do it, but it's just different stuff. So you cannot take the earth dal. So in ISKCON, we also do Chaturmasya. But our Chaturmasya is easy. Prabhupada once said, if I told you all the rules, you would faint. In ISKCON, we don't actually get asked to do very much. And even then, devotees complain. Just like in the... second month of Chaturmasya, no dahi, no yogurt. One time, there's fruit offering. Devotee made some fruit offering, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And they brought out lassi. You know, lassi. And then devotee gave to me. It was like second month of Chaturmasya. Yeah. Have some lassi. You know, I made this for, I think it was mango lassi. Made for the, very nice, take it. I said, I can't take it. It's Chaturmasya. You know, 1 month we don't have yoga. And the devotee said, it's not yogurt, it's lassi. Honey, Baba, you put 50% water in and then you say it's not yogurt anymore. What's the other 50% yogurt? So we have to be a little bit strict. We're not asked to do very much. So at least do something, a little bit of tapasya. It has to be a little bit. So they were doing chatamasya, the sages, right? So they were doing chatamasya, they're performing some austerity, staying in one place. You see, if you go to India and chatamasya, people don't shave, right? They do austerity. The whole point is, like on Ekadashi, you know, we do some austerity, we don't eat, or like on Janmashtami, we don't eat the whole day. What's the purpose of that austerity? But how does it please Krishna? How does it please Krishna? Yeah, because you've got more time. Like after class day, we'll go and have breakfast. You know, many devotees have breakfast. Some devotees are fasting because there's Vyasa Puja of His Holiness Kanamba Ganan Swami. So some devotees will fast, but other devotees, they'll take breakfast, right? So it takes some time, breakfast, and then you have some lunch, and then you have some dinner, and then in between you're having your snacks, and then, you know, just before you go to bed, you have some milk and like that, and then you get up in the morning, you have milk sweets, and I'd see you guys, you know. So this takes time, right? It takes time, right? Eating takes time. Sleeping takes time, right? So the point of Ekadashi or Janmashtami, or the reason we fast is because then we have more time to serve Krishna for hearing and chanting. On the first Janmashtami, well, one of the first Janmashtamis celebrated in ISKCON, Prabhupada was in Japan. Right? He was flying through. Yeah, he went to visit Dai Nippon, the printers, on the way to India. Prabhupada was heading across. So they observed Janmashtami. And Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja was, you have to cover your mouth when you yawn. Janmashtami, the next day is Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja. It was one of the first Vyasa Pujas in ISKCON. And one of the first Janmashtami. So devotee said to Prabhupada, what do we do? Prabhupada said you just stay in the temple room all day, you chant Hare Krishna and you read Krishna book. Because back then, you know, now it's like Janmashtami is so big, we have to do so many services. But in between your services, you should chant Hare Krishna and read Krishna book. And while you're doing your service, you should chant Hare Krishna and listen to Krishna book. So that's our process. So the reason we do the fasting and the austerity is so we can do more bhakti, more devotional. So that's what the sages were doing, chatamasya. So then every day, the maidservant, the son of the maidservant, who was Narada in his previous life, he was serving the sages. Who were the sages? Yeah, it says they were Bhakti Vedantas. That means they did their Bhakti Vedanta course. Bhakti Vedanta means you study the whole Bhagavatam. So they studied the whole Bhagavatam. But who were they? They're very famous, these sages. They were the Chatur Kumara, right, the four Kumaras. It doesn't mention in Bhagavatam, but in other places it mentions. It was the four Kumaras. So imagine you're serving them every day for 4 months. And every day he was taking their remnants. Imagine taking the remnants of the four Kumaras every day. And what would that do to your consciousness? You become purified. And if you're really advanced, or if you're really sincere, you would make rapid advancement. And he would listen to them every day because they would discuss Bhagavatam. So he would sit and listen to these Bhakti Vedantas, the four Kumaras, every day, and taking their remnants with their permission. Right? He'd get their permission. Can I take your remnant? Yes, you can take. He'd take their. And he was making so much advancement. So much advancement that in the next life he became Narad Muni. Right? He became completely purified. So that is the potency of taking the remnants of great devotees. In Chaitanya Charitamrita it says three substances are very powerful to increase your bhakti. What are those three substances? No. Three substances. Tulsi's there, but three. The dust from the feet of the devotees. Very powerful. If you can get the dust from the feet, just like when we go to Prabhupada's Murti, quite often we take the dust from his feet. Or if we do deity worship, you know, before we bathe Gaur Nitai, for example, when the doors close after Mangalati, the pujaris, we can put our head on the feet of Gaur Nitai. So the dust from the feet of the devotee, very powerful. Secondly, the water which bathes the feet of the devotee. So if you do a foot bathing ceremony, and then you take that water in your mouth and on your head, that will purify you greatly. Just like we take Charanamrita in the pot. Every day we have Charanamrita. That water has bathed the Shalagram Shila, the forms of Krishna. And then every day we take that. It's very purifying. Charanamrita. So we take the water from the lotus feet of the devotee, the dust from the feet of the devotee, and then the remnants of the food stuff. If we get that, take that, then that's very purifying to our consciousness. So every day he was taking, listening to Bhagavatam, taking the remnants of the devotee, and then became Narad Muni. So in your next life you might become a great sage. And then you can fly around the universe and purify everyone, playing your veena or your harmonium, flying around. That's Narad Muni. He is, Prabhupada said, transcendental spaceman. He can go any planet. He can even go into the spiritual world when he wants. He goes into Krishna's pastimes, comes out of Krishna's pastimes, comes into the material world. He might even be here today. Prabhupada said he would come to ISKCON temple sometimes. Prabhupada said he comes to see the Aarti in Soho Street. They have a little asana there on the altar for him. He appears, comes. He might come today, how do you know? So these great personalities are there. So in this lifetime, if you become purified, if you take prasad every day, chant the holy name of Krishna, hear Bhagavatam from advanced devotees, maybe next lifetime you'll become transcendental spaceman. You can fly around the universe and serve Krishna. That is the potency of Krishna consciousness. If it doesn't work, we give your money back. Hare Krishna. So here, we're hearing about Narad Muni, how in his previous lifetime, who he was, he became purified. And this is showing us how we can also become purified. That's why we study Bhagavatam every day. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Is there any questions or comments in this material world about the subject matters that we have discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam? Any other questions? Any questions in the material world? Any other questions in the material world? Everyone's good? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki? Jai. Thank you for coming. Hare Krishna. I saw your message. Yeah.
What do you reckon?
In this summer?
No.
In future?
In future, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Because it will make our life easy, because
yeah.
We don't have to take prasadam.
Yeah, I think a good idea.